Transformation is inevitable, but it doesn't have to take forever. What if you could see the obstacles before they happen, sidestep the common mistakes, and drive change faster than ever? That's exactly what we're here to do. Welcome to Transformation Unfiltered, the podcast where HR professionals share their stories about how they've hit fast forward on their transformation efforts and built legacies as world-class people leaders and change makers. And now, here's the show.
The CEO that I reported to at that time said, "Do you ever slow down to write down the events or your accomplishments, specifically this event?" He said, "You handle that so well that I'm not sure," and the person also said this to me as well, "that if someone else were in that seat, they're not sure if it would have been handled the way that I handled that situation." And my response to the both of them was, "Well, I'm a department of one. Who else was going to do it?" And he was like, "No, I really want you to slow down to write down and replay back to yourself what took place." And oftentimes I do not acknowledge my accomplishments because I just need to go on to the next task. So when I say slow down, I think that's also a part of the journey for any profession, not just an HR professional, but for anyone who's dealing with volumes of people and their emotions and whatever's going on day to day. You need to be able to slow down a little bit for yourself to, one, breathe, regulate yourself, especially when those emotions are high, but you're presenting like everything's fine. You need to give yourself a little bit of space.
When a VP made a disparaging comment about African-Americans, she was the HR leader called to address it. She's African-American herself. Yet years of diplomacy, protecting the organization from risk and keeping her emotions out of the process meant she never said what she truly needed to say. Her measured approach, it worked on paper, but there was a cost. Carrying the weight of words left unsaid and leaving human-to-human disconnect between her and the VP. In this conversation, she shares how that moment taught her to slow down, speak up, and lead with courageous humanity, and why now she runs her team in a way that makes it safe to say the thing that needs to be said, regardless of the titles of the people in the room. Today on Transformation Unfiltered, we're talking with Stacey Harris. Stacey is a human resources leader with over 24 years of experience spanning HR management, benefits, talent acquisition, payroll, and HRIS systems. Over the years, she's partnered with senior leadership to align HR with corporate strategy, driving initiatives that support growth and long-term success. She's also led some cost-saving strategies, strengthening recruitment and retention, and she's built many succession planning programs that position companies for the future. At the core of Stacey's work is a commitment to applying HR best practices that not only support employees, but also enhance overall organizational performance. Stacey, thank you so much for joining us today and being willing to share a little bit about your career journey today.
Alexa, thank you for having me today. I appreciate the opportunity.
Stacey, why don't we just get right into it? Are you ready to dish out what your messy moment was that you'd like to share?
Yes, I am. When I worked with a nonprofit that had an international presence, there was a sensitive charge incident that was brought to my attention that involved our most senior executive within our organization. And during a meeting that she was attending, along with another colleague of hers, and during that session, she made a microaggression against a statement that was really no thought behind it. She didn't think about it, but definitely landed with the person that it impacted within that meeting in that session.
You'd think in this day and age, a microaggression is a common term, but tell us a little bit more what exactly happened so that even my mom could understand.
Most definitely. So in this, microaggression is an unintentional comment made against a marginalized group. And during the session, the senior executive made comment about African-American not necessarily having strong writing skills.
Okay.
Wow.
And her colleague who was attending that session definitely heard the message and felt really offended by that comment, especially with her being an African-American, a Black person. After that session, the person did bring it to my attention and just wanted to run by me if what she heard was what she heard. And I did let her know that what you heard was what you heard. That is correct. And that should not have been said in that conversation, especially due to, I would say, the racial makeup of our organization at that time, or even if it didn't matter, doesn't matter what the makeup of our organization was, she should not have made that comment. She wanted to give a little bit more thought about how she wanted to proceed in that. And I always ask individuals who are bringing grievances to me, what is your ask of me? What would you like for me to do with this information? Would you like me to coach you through a difficult conversation? Would you like to escalate this in the terms of investigating what this looks like? So she wanted to think about that so that she can determine how she wanted to move forward, with also recognizing, I think, her a little bit of her pause was that if it goes down, if the process becomes a little bit sticky and untenable, she knew that her loyalty really lied or laid with the CEO at that time and wanting to protect him and his legacy and leadership.
I'm just imagining myself sitting in this meeting, watching this all go down. We have this senior executive. She makes this comment that is offensive. And if I was in the seat of this person who came to share, I'm hearing you say, yes, this happened. And you're so calm right now. You're so matter of fact. Was that how it was when it actually happened?
As I reflect back on that moment, and even in other points in my career, folks have commented me on my poker face and stoic responses, because I know in my role, I need to be really balanced and not feed into someone's emotion, whether it's charged or not. So I would say yes, that in that moment, I wanted to remain calm for her while also making sure I was walking that fine line of keeping the company compliant, but also being an advocate for our employee. She was impacted by this comment that was insensitive, although from the senior executive's point of view, something that was not, she didn't mean it that way, but it doesn't matter what her intent was, it was how it was received and how it landed with the individual that it impacted.
Were you in the room when it happened?
No, I was not. Unfortunately, I was not in the room, but I was pleased enough that the colleague was comfortable enough to raise that versus ruminating on that by herself or with individuals outside of the organization.
Yeah,
so that did also bring comfort to me, knowing that from an HR perspective, that I do truly offer and provide that open door policy that if individuals want to come in to speak to me regarding whatever's going on in their day-to-day, that they can do.
Yeah, I think it's interesting as we think about this whole scenario. We have somebody that's senior in the organization that makes a microaggression and somebody is really probably fretful. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting about this is we're talking about a messy moment. This is certainly messy. Tell me, what is your part in this messy moment besides just watching it go down? Did you have any messiness in this moment?
I would say as I reflect back on that, showing up for the employee, remaining calm, but knowing internally, I now need to investigate something that's really sticky because it also not only was it a microaggression made during this meeting, there was also a power imbalance. Mm-hmm. This was a senior executive and the person who heard this comment was a junior staff member. I would say my messy moment as I reflect back on this is when I was speaking with her and I spoke with everyone who was in that meeting to understand what they heard. Well, how did they take away from the comment? Did they hear the comment? My messy moment was when I was speaking with the person who made the comment and not, I feel in the moment, not doing a good job of being direct with her to let her know that your comment was insensitive. Yeah. Although she was saying that, oh, I'm not like that. I didn't mean to. Let me just call her, while also trying to be an advocate for her as well and watching her go through the emotions and also playing back that scene. I needed to be, and I think she heard the message eventually, especially as we went through this investigation, that it was something that she needed to be mindful of. And also as a person of color, that comment is not appropriate to say to anyone.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering how you felt in all this. It's a biting comment that may have been said in a way that it wasn't meant that way. And here you are, the HR person having to wear so many hats and a woman of color and needing to do what's right for the organization, do what's right for all of the employees of the organization who come from many different backgrounds and have. So I imagine that was very messy.
Most definitely. And not in the moment, but what I call my moment of reflection is how highly charged that incident was for me leading the investigation as being an African-American, a person, a woman, an executive, all of these intersectionalities playing all at once and still needing to remain balanced and measured, one, due to my role, but also due to me as a human being of letting her know that you should never make that comment, regardless of the makeup of our organization as it relates to our staff, it's insensitive. The comment was made, I believe, in as it relates to recruiting practices that maybe she may have been looking for. So I would say, yes, to answer your question along a roundabout way, is that the messy moment for me is because it was uncomfortable and rightfully not being as direct as I needed to be to let her know of the impact of what her words meant. In addition to the highly charged incidents, it came out from the colleague who was impacted by the statement that this senior executive may have viewed applicants based off of the schools that they attended.
Oh.
And only would look for people from certain educational backgrounds.
So there were biases that were beyond this. This was a symptom of perhaps a larger behavior pattern.
Most definitely. And yeah. I think that's probably why the colleague at that time felt it was time for her to make a formal complaint.
You said you think your messy moment was not being as direct with this person. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. you also have to think, okay, how do I stay calm for this mm-hmm. employee? While also being direct and making sure that this person knows that's not okay here. So what were the costs of being less direct?
That's a really good question. The cost of being less direct. When I look back on that experience, I don't think there was a cost. I think the outcome of the situation was favorable for the employee who made their grievance, making the senior executive aware of her misstep, holding her accountable to that. And I think she learned from it because I didn't see that there were any other instances that were brought to my attention, or at least I didn't observe anything coming out of that meeting. I don't think there was a cost of me being less direct. The message was received. She was embarrassed, very apologetic. And I think her actions after that incident changed, I would say.
I am picking up that your diplomacy is a powerful strength. There were no costs organizationally because you made your way through it. And I'm wondering, how did that feel to you on the inside as somebody that was also an African-American woman? And here you're looking in the face of someone that made these microaggressions and you're mm-hmm. playing it cool. So what is that?
I would say the cost for me, because I am so measured, is that I don't release and I don't necessarily reflect on situations because I'm the person who needs to get it done. And at the end of the day, when it's something that's so emotionally charged, such as this situation, it is draining for me. It is draining for me. I am one, if folks want to know what's my release, I'm a person who loves to rest. And that's how I get my recharge. But as I look back on that situation, being able to provide feedback human to human, I think that may have been a missed opportunity. Not Stacey, the human resources person, but Stacey, the woman who is the executive, the woman who is the African-American in the seat, the woman who is now needing to investigate and speak to you, senior executive, about your misstep and how that impacts me in hearing that this comment was made. I think that may have been a missed opportunity that could have even further cemented what her learning experience was in that moment. Yes, you impacted this individual. Her response was, I would never hurt anyone, especially this person. She's always been there for me, but you did. And now, as indirectly, it has impacted me because I look like the other person that you felt so very comfortable making this comment around.
Yeah.
So I would say the cost for me is not taking advantage. And maybe it was too real in that moment because I always have my moments of reflections. You may hear this throughout our discussion today, is that it probably would not have happened in the moment, but I could still have went back to her after I had my moment of reflection to say, hey, just human to human and needing to manage these muddied waters that you created, this is how it landed with me.
Yeah. I think that's so courageous to even admit we have to walk through this world and act like we have all of our acts together mm-hmm. and that nothing, we're Teflon. It bounces right off me. Right, no off. Big deal. And I imagine there's a bit of a weight to doing that. And you said one of the things that you need is to rest and recharge. What was it like during that time for you? What were you feeling like energetically?
At that time, I knew what I was trying to do is to have a favorable outcome because I know how it could have gone. Again, it's a very fine line. It's a tightrope of being that advocate for that employee and making sure that person is heard, especially in a situation that's so sensitive as this one. But then also part of my job is to keep the company compliant. So being able to navigate those waters, sometimes it doesn't go as planned and it will play out the way it plays out. But the reminder for me is, how did I show up as the HR professional? I can't control how people show up and who they bring as themselves to the workplace. But what I can do is to let them know how their behavior may be in alignment or not in alignment with the culture that the organization says that they want to have.
Yeah. I find that you're a consummate professional and you're really keeping your eye on the outcomes and keeping your eye on the job. Was there a personal impact to you through all of this? Or are you able to put it in a box? Tell me more about that.
I do a good job of putting things in a box, compartmentalizing things. But I think it shows up when I'm exhausted. And then I just generalize it being rest. For me, it could be a nap. It could just be taking it easy on the couch. It could be a leisurely walk, resting, because I need to decompress from something that has been so highly charged, because I need to show up, or at least I feel that I need to show up as the ultimate professional in being mindful of people's energy when they come into my space, because I do absorb it. I think the impact of that is for me to rest.
Are you enjoying the conversation? There are more game-changing insights still ahead. If you're passionate about driving transformation and want to stay ahead of the curve, join our Accelerated Transformation community. Send us a quick message on LinkedIn or via email and we'll send you an invite. Now, let's get back to the show.
So it sounds like the learning for you, and one is you could have connected on this human level with this person.
I agree.
And that in order to be able to do this tough job and walk all the lines and wear all the different hats, that rest is actually imperative for you.
Correct. Yeah. Yes, it is. It is.
With all of this, knowing that you're a great compartmentalizer, it did have kind of an impact on you, but you were able to manage it. What are the things that you took away from that whole experience? What lessons?
I would say the lessons were, regardless of your position, you can learn from your mistakes. And I think what I also recognize is that just because a person has a certain title, for people not to assume that they're not human. I've also learned from that experience that it's okay to bring a little of yourself into situations if it helps to drive home the learning experience for that individual or for everyone involved. And although folks will say that I don't show much emotion, I think that it's sometimes okay to show healthy emotion. You don't need to be so stoic, because if you're not releasing it, and for me, it's rest or exercising. If you're not releasing it, your body will tell on you. Waking up in the middle of the night because you're going through your list of things or replaying events in your mind that maybe you thought you didn't handle well. And I would say being courageous in moments where it's uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think that when you're, one of the lessons that really stands out to me is you just said, be courageous in the moments when it's uncomfortable. And I almost wonder, where's your uncomfortable meter? Because it seems like you have a very high tolerance for uncomfortable stuff.
I think I present well inside. It's like what was that cartoon where they were talking about emotions and all the little characters are running around? That's what is going on.
There's something on the inside doing that.
Correct. Oh, that was the name of the movie, Inside.
Yeah.
Where's my, that's a really good question. I am learning to undo that currently. I am learning to undo that. I think for me, it's been such a habit over these over 24 years of doing HR, but coming to a point, especially where I am in my age and stage, that you don't need to continue that. And sometimes it's a little unhealthy to just hold it in. So again, having balance, the rest, the exercise, saying things courageously when you're like, oh, I'm not really sure how this is going to land, but it needs to be said. I think for me, all of those things contribute or attribute to who I am as an HR professional.
I think that it's telling to hear you say that while I look cool as a cucumber on the outside, I've got all of the emotions happening on the inside, and you're learning to navigate with that in a way that you didn't before.
I'm learning to slow down because even with that incident that was highly charged, once it was done, I was over it. It's like, okay, next. That was handled successfully to the point, not that it happened, but the results were successful for the person who was impacted by it. What's next on my list?
And then
that's always
never
been
another thought. Yeah.
Correct. And the CEO that I reported to at that time said, do you ever slow down to write down the events or your accomplishments, specifically this event? He said, you handle that so well that I'm not sure. And the person also said this to me as well, that if someone else were in that seat, they're not sure if it would have been handled the way that I handled that situation. And my response to the both of them was, well, I'm a department of one. Who else was going to do it? And he was like, no, I really want you to slow down, to write down and replay back to yourself what took place. And oftentimes I do not acknowledge my accomplishments because I just need to go on to the next task. So when I say slow down, I think that's also a part of the journey for any profession, not just an HR professional, but for anyone who's dealing with volumes of people and their emotions and whatever's going on day to day, you need to be able to slow down a little bit for yourself to, one, breathe, regulate yourself, especially when those emotions are high, but you're presenting like everything's fine. You need to give yourself a little bit of space.
I think that's incredibly powerful acknowledgement, not only acknowledging your past accomplishments, but even I heard you go towards acknowledge the emotions, acknowledge the stuff that you're facing right now. Give yourself some space to breathe instead of rushing to solve
to get through it.
That is very insightful. And I'm wondering, what does that look like now differently now that you said I'm learning? As you learn, I'm sure you're practicing things. Sometimes it goes great. Sometimes you might have some backslides. But what does slowing down, acknowledging both your accomplishments and also where you are, the feelings, what does that do for you and your role?
I was going to say what it does is it's gratitude. Being able to recognize your wins, recognize your losses, because losses also equal learning opportunities. And it also shows those who are around you that you're not an energizer bunny where you're just trying to plow through things. Someone just asked me the other day, what do you do to slow down or to recharge? I'm like, once I get the department up, because I have my new department now, once I get folks up, I know that then I can breathe, because I know each of you are in different learning of your role stages. But that excites me because now I have a full team where I don't need to take that all on by myself.
Yeah. So I think it sounds like you are pretty good at doing things yourself in the past.
Yes.
Because you're like, who else is going to do it? And now it sounds excited and inviting doing something as a team.
Most definitely. Doing something as a team and doing things differently than I have in the past. And that's the slowing down piece. Just slowing down. Not urgent. Although folks will present it that way, and being able to reroute people to other individuals who may be able to assist them. So, yes.
If you had looked back at that messy moment where you were speaking to this individual and you were measured like you were, but you had slowed down, would anything have been different?
I would say probably that moment to give her, not Stacey HR, not you, senior executive, but person to person, what the impact of comment has made on me, just to give her a different perspective of how that intent works. I didn't intend to offend anyone, and we've all done it before, so I'm definitely giving her grace there, but just being more aware of comments that I think that definitely would have driven the point home a little bit more for her, I hope.
Yeah. What would it have done for you? Would it have done anything for you in any way to have told her that?
I think it would have been a relief. It's something that I'm not necessarily harboring. I've said what I needed to say. It lands where it will land, but at least I know I've released it.
Yeah, and I think release, you've talked a lot about release throughout this, and sometimes release comes in the form of exercise. Sometimes it comes in the form of sitting on the couch, taking a walk. Sometimes it comes in the form of letting out the thing that is inside that you're moderating. As you think about you leading this team of people, and with these lessons in your back pocket, how do you deploy this today?
I would like to think that what I'm trying to do, the team would say, I'm creating an environment where, one, we can have fun to do our jobs, because sometimes it gets heavy and it gets a little sticky.
Right.
And I'm creating what I'm hoping is an environment where my team members can challenge me on how we're managing things here, or to say, hey, I got this. Let me report back to you. But also creating a space where my staff is comfortable to vent with me, whether it's regarding me or whether it's outside of what I'll call our office, that I want to really create a space where we feel like we're a united front. And when I say a united front, it does not mean that we always need to agree, but we're challenging each other to better ourselves day in, day out. And I've told each of my team members that although I'm the person who's leading this HR function, I can learn from you just as you can learn from me. So just because I'm telling you how I do things, you may have an easier, quicker way to complete a task. By all means, I am open to working smarter, not harder, but I definitely want this to be a true collaboration. And with all of that being said, I am still wanting us to provide top customer service to our clients who are our employees. And if there's ever a time where you need assistance, or I would never ask you to do something that I would not do myself.
That ties back to one of the lessons that there's so much goodness coming out of your mouth right now. So I have to pick a lane sometimes, but I want to circle back to this thing you said in one of your lessons, what people are people regardless of title.
Yes.
And the way you are running your team is say the thing to me. Say it to me. I don't care if I have the C in front of my title. I don't care if I'm the head of HR. I want you to say the thing.
Right.
Tell me more about how you are cultivating that on your team and what do you get for it?
What I do to get that from the team is to, I'll say, hey, here's your task. Here's how I will do it. But by all means, you tell me what's best for you. I invite them to share their point of view. As long as our end result is the same, have at it. I do want them to feel empowered to get their job done. And what I just realized with you asking that question is what I'm hoping I'm creating for them is that when I didn't have that at their level during my career is not being afraid to use your voice.
Don't be afraid to use your voice.
Don't be afraid to use your voice. Again, we don't need to agree all the time, but I definitely want to hear your opinion, but not wanting them to keep it inside or to talk amongst themselves. And that doesn't necessarily impact any change, but being comfortable to use your voice, even when it's uncomfortable.
I think that's such a gift to give your team, to let them know that their voice matters and say the hard thing. And it doesn't have to be as scary as it might have been for that person that came to you, that safe place when she couldn't say it to that person in that meeting. As you've come to your new role, is there any advice that you'd give to someone 15 years your junior, now that you have this nice rearview mirror happening? What's your advice for somebody coming up?
I would say, enjoy the process. Learn from your mistakes. Don't be afraid to make mistakes either. That seems a little scary, especially coming from a person who we all want to make sure we're doing everything accurate and correctly. Don't be afraid to make mistakes and learn from them. And I would definitely say, again, use your voice. Use your voice. And it doesn't need to be done in a way where it's contentious, but don't be afraid to challenge the status quo professionally.
Don't be afraid to challenge the status quo professionally.
Right.
And it's good for the organization. It's good for your team. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be good for you because there's that release. You don't have this thing swimming around at your head at 2 a.m, keeping you up at night.
Correct. Correct.
I know somebody that said something about that. Do you want to give a nod to someone who said something about things in your head, living rent-free?
Oh, my father has shared with me many a times of don't let things, you know, ruminating in your mind rent-free. You need to release it. And that's just another way that it can be done, but practice where a person feels safe enough. Again, going back to the original question of 15 years, my junior, just use your voice, so release it. And whatever that looks like for you, it could be face-to-face conversation that's best for individuals. It could be ring conversations. It could be any way that folks need to do it, but you need to release it because you don't want that living in your head rent-free.
Yeah, don't. I love that your father used that. I love it. And yeah, we don't want these unsupportive, unhelpful thoughts that need to come out live in your head rent-free.
Right.
And Stacey, you said something really important. You said practice in a safe place. What, did you have any safe places along the way? So people can know where to look. Where do I find that safe place?
I would say I'm hoping that people can find that within their supervisor. Yeah. Also mentors. It doesn't need to be necessarily within your group. It could be within the organization. It could be outside of the organization. But being able to find that safe space of someone that you can bounce ideas off of safely in the manner of, when I say safely, someone who's not going to throw it back in your face. So an objective party who has an open mindset who can guide folks. Is what I would say.
An open mindset and even maybe an open human heart, like you said before.
There you go.
Nice.
That always leads the way.
Stacey, it has been so much fun, as usual, to get to spend some time with you. Every time we get a chance to talk, I have new things to add to my You Better Try This Alexa thing. So where will I bet other people listening are going to want to pick your brain too. So where can people find you?
I would love for folks to reach out. I am on LinkedIn at Stacey Harris. That's it.
Stacey Harris. And we're going to put Stacey's contact information in the show notes, of course. You know, what's so powerful is your superpower, which is diplomacy being measured, combined with let's just get this stuff done. Those things have driven you forward in your career. And when you add to those things, the ability to use your voice, not the ability, but the courage to say the thing that's hard, say the thing that has to do with those creepy little emotions that we don't always want to bring into the workplace, say, hey, that creates that human connection. So I think those are really powerful takeaways for me that, you know, you are a whole person. And even if you're really good at these strengths, sometimes if they're overused, it might dull something that makes somebody really take something away that you're human too. And that could actually be the thing that gives you the most success, the most peace, because you deserve to use your voice. And I'm really excited that you're in the position now to create a team and an organization where that's the status quo. I can't wait to see what you do next. I'm going to keep tabs. Folks, if you liked what you heard from Stacey, please listen to some other episodes of Transformation Unfiltered. You can find Transformation Unfiltered on your favorite podcast platform. You can like it, you can share it, you can subscribe to it, and you'll get to meet some other fabulous leaders like Stacey who are courageous enough to share those messy moments that built them up to where they are today, because it all is a learning experience. So tune in next time and we'll see you then.
Thank you for hanging out with us and listening to Transformation Unfiltered. If you found today's conversation valuable, leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. It helps us reach more changemakers just like you. Do you know someone who would be great as a guest on our show? Send us a message on LinkedIn or drop us an email. We'd love to hear your recommendation and appreciate the connection. See you next week for another episode featuring an HR leader just like you who's hitting fast forward on change, impact, and transformation.